Good evening and welcome, everyone. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Bernie. It's a privilege to be sharing with you the Word of God. And if you're new here and you don't know, I apologize beforehand, I'm random. And as normal, I have a bit of a random sermon. It's what's awesome about a church like Shofar. You have a Tiens, who's, praise God, the senior pastor here, who is a teacher, you know, that really focuses on the Word. If you've ever spent time with him, it's quite intimidating how incredibly well he knows the Word of God. And then there's me. And anything can happen. So it's one of those nights that anything can happen. We're speaking this evening on, if we can go to that first slide, prophetic accuracy. And after the convergence, after our conference a few weeks ago, we had a pastor summit where all the Shofar pastors from all over the world come together, and we spend a week sharing and discussing what God's showing us and what he's speaking to us about. And as for those of you that were at conference, you'll know that it's about being one. And how does that look, and what is God saying, and what is the plan for the year forward? What is the strategy that God's giving us as the Shofar movement for this year? And so if you ever been in a strange room, the strangest room you'll ever be in is with one with pastors, when there's only pastors. And it gets very hilarious, it gets very tense, it gets very prophetic, it gets very emotional. And it's pretty much like normal church. Isn't that awesome? Realizing that everyone in the end is human. And it's awesome when you can actually take off your hat and you don't have to, you know, act. Sometimes we have to be a bit pretentious. And there's no pretentiousness there. And really awesome to be with other men and women of God. And what is interesting, though, during the one morning, we had incredible praise and worship, and the God was just giving us incredible dreams, visions. And then the one pastor the previous night had a dream, and he came and shared the dream. And so those of you that know me, I really have a heart for the prophetic. I really have a heart to understand dreams and visions, interpretation of dreams and visions. And I have a great heart for intercession and a great heart to be a watchman on the wall. And this this dream was shared, and what bothered me slightly was that the interpretation of the dream was incorrect. Although the dream was from God, the interpretation given was incorrect. And it led the prayers slightly off to the right, or maybe slightly off to the left. But we weren't hitting target. And it bothered me so that I went and spoke to one of the senior pastors, and afterwards, and I said to him, it is really important that we have spiritual accuracy when God speaks. And I'm basing the word this evening on that principle. Now, it was not one of those dreams that we totally missed it and we're about to totally miss what God says. God is faithful. And it's one of those dreams that will come to fruition. It will happen. But we'll probably look afterwards and go, oh, that's what the dream meant. Have you ever had that in your life when God spoke to you and you thought it meant A, and then later on you found that it actually meant B? Some of us. And so this evening, I'm really more standing in faith, and I pray that we put our faith out together, that something happens in the Spirit that we may hear God correctly. Many of us here hear God, and we hear God quite often, regularly even, have dreams, have visions, spend time in the Word, and the Word really ministers. But are we hearing correctly? And in the end of this evening, if you're one of those, you've never heard God, and you don't know how God speaks, I'd like you to come and let's pray together afterwards that you too may hear from the Lord. And those of us that have been walking with the Lord a little bit longer, that have been hearing the Lord, let's pray that the Lord speaks that we may hear a little clearer. And that's my introduction. I like this verse. John 1, verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, being Jesus Christ. And we'll get back to that. The prophetic word, we can go now to that slide, the prophetic word was never meant to be a trophy. It was meant to be a weapon. Now, maybe for five of us that will mean something, and the rest of you are going to go, I don't get it. That's fine. But we've gotten into a place as the bride of Jesus Christ that we've moved slightly away from why God has given us prophecy. It's become our tool more than it's become God's tool. And we're going to look in Scripture tonight and see if we can find an example and what happens and why. Can we keep it on this slide for now? How do we understand the Messiah? How do we understand Jesus Christ? What lens do we look through when God speaks to us? How do we interpret the prophetic words that God gives us? And what do I do with the visions and dreams and scripture the Lord shows me? And I'd like to discuss those things this evening as we move along. So if it's okay, I'm not going to read the entire life story of Elijah. We're not going to do it like in the old early days of church where they'd open up the Bible and literally for 2 or 3 hours together read the word, if it's okay. But I'd like us to look at the life of Elijah, and I put up a few slides there if we can move to that. Elijah is known to us as one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. And we'll get into that now, but I just want to run through the story just to remind you of his life story. So Elijah was a man of God, but before we have Elijah, we have King Ahab. King Ahab was the most wicked, evil president that they ever had. Okay, in those days they had kings. But he was the most wicked and the most evil. And he made the Israelites worship idols. And then Elijah, the great prophet, comes and speaks to Ahab and says, oh, hallelujah. Ahab, this sound is horrible. He comes to Ahab and says, listen, God is not going to have this. He's going to stop the rain falling. And at my word, when I speak again, the rain will fall. And so next we see that Ahab had killed, next slide, Ahab had married a woman called Jezebel. And she was a evil woman. She served Baal. And she had many prophets. And she was busy killing prophets. And so she wanted to kill this great prophet of God. So this great prophet of God fled. Because God actually said he must flee. And I just want us to focus on that scripture quickly. Elijah said to Ahab, as certainly as the Lord God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be no dew or rain in the years ahead until I give the command. The Lord told him, leave here, the Lord speaking to the prophet, leave here and travel eastward. Hide in that valley near the Jordan. Drink from the stream I have already told the ravens to bring you food here. And so this prophet flees and goes and stays there. Now please note the obedience of the prophet to what God is saying. And he flees, and where God sends him, he provides for him. You see, where God calls you, He provides for you. Moving on. So this famine hits, and there's no water, and the stream dries up, and Elijah finally gets thirsty, and the Lord speaks to Elijah and says, I have spoken to a woman, and you will go live with her, and she will feed you. And so he meets this woman, you know the story, she says she's about to make a last meal for her son, for her, and then they're going to eat, and then they're going to die. And the prophet speaks, and he says that the flour bowl will never go empty, and neither will the jar of oil. There will always be oil until the rain falls again. There will be oil in there. So it was. So later on, this boy dies, and the woman goes to the prophet and says, why have you allowed this curse upon my family? And Elijah then raises this man from the dead. This is a true prophet of God. This is a man that moves in God. Agreed. When last have you raised someone from the dead? And then the fun starts happening. So Elijah's now had enough of these Baal prophets, and he has the showdown of all showdowns. And this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And there's 850 prophets, and he has this dance off. All right, Step Up 17, the movie. And he has this dance off with his prophets, and he says to them, right, you guys, we're going to take a calf, we're going to kill it, and then we're going to call on our God. You're going to call on your God, I'm going to call my God, and the one who brings fire is the real God. Is that cool? Is that okay? And they say, fine. And these guys dance all day, all night, nothing happens. Elijah then gets a whole lot of buckets of water. Now, that's a miracle, just by the way. Remember, there's not been rain for a very long time, and he was thirsty. Okay, I don't know where they got the water, but they got water. Can you imagine you standing there, and there's no water in like the entire nation, and yeah, they're just pouring out buckets of water. Okay, if this prophet doesn't happen, if this thing doesn't happen, there's going to be a lot of offense. Okay, so he's putting himself on the line. And the next thing, God sends fire and consumes everything. We know the story well. But we might have missed something in the story, so let's look at what we missed. So Ahab goes to Jezebel and tells all that Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of whom by this, I'm sure I read something wrong there, by this time tomorrow. In other words, I will kill you like you killed my prophets. See, best day of ministry that you can ever have, this prophet, after God sent down the fire, then takes out the sword, okay, and goes absolutely ninja and kills 850 prophets by his own sword. If that's not a ninja enough movie that you're watching, all right, he then goes and prays and commands rain to come. He has to pray a few times, and the next thing, the rain comes. All right, he's having a good day in ministry. If that's not great enough, this man in his old age outruns a horse. Okay? He outruns the BMW. Gone. It's a good day in ministry. And then one woman says, may the same happen to you that happened to my prophets. And this guy's undone. Why? So we see verse 4. But he went himself But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. Did you know there's such a thing as a broom tree? You can actually see it, all these brooms hanging. And he asked that he might die. He asked that he may die. Now, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life. And here we see the sin of the great prophet. For I am no better than my fathers. No one until this point had ever done 90% of the things that this man did. We don't read that anyone had raised the dead before that. We don't read that anyone was able to do the miracles that this man can do. So what happened with this prophet is, if we read into this, is that he started thinking it was all about him. He truly believed he was better than his fathers before him. He thought he was better than Moses. He thought he was better than David and all those men of faith that came before him. I believe this is a sin that we're seeing creep slowly but surely into the charismatic movement. Right. We're going to move on a few scriptures. And I want to read something that he says. So he's having this conversation with God. So what happens is, so God says, right, he was woken up by an angel. And the angel says to him, eat, drink, for your journey is long. So he eats and drinks a little cake of bread and some ice cold water. Once again, not much water. Well, I guess it's more water because it's been raining now. Nice cold, beautiful water from heaven. And then he goes back to sleep and the angel wakes him up again and says, eat, drink, for the journey is long. And then this prophet has another awesome little bit of ministry, a bit of a random one. He goes 40 days without food, marching through the desert. When lost, have you gone without food for 40 days? And what's happening now is we see this conversation happening, starting verse 9. Verse 9, we see a conversation happening between him and God. And God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Now, when God asks you a question like that, you are in trouble. And he doesn't go, well, Lord, your angel said I must be here. He gave me food. Remember, you sent me to go where the ravens were, remember? Ravens, food. You then gave me food. And now I'm here. You called for me. I'm here. He doesn't answer it, but at least he's wise enough for that. And what Elijah answers, he says, I'm very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. And I only am left. How often in your own life does it not feel that you are the only one? You know when that hard time hits and you feel alone and you feel lonely and you feel no one understands, no one knows. I and I alone am going through this. All right. Find the right scripture. Okay. 1 Kings 18 is going to show us a little something of the sin of the prophet. 1 Kings 18, 2 slides down, that's the one. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For when Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water. So Elijah was not the only one. He was not the only prophet. But Bernie, did he know that? Great, thanks for asking a question. I love you for that. We see in verse 13, when the prophet went to Obadiah and said, bring me your king, King Ahab, that I may speak to him. Just before the Baal prophet 3D march off, dance off happened. And Obadiah answers him the following. Has it not been told to my master that I did what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, that I hid 100 prophets? I, and I alone, am left. This man of God had convinced himself that he was so special before the Lord that he was it. And instead of running to the prophets and saying, God has redeemed us, come out of the caves, let us take this land, he went and rather asked that he may be killed. He went before God and asked that God had pity on him. And that God will feel sorry for him. And he really believed if he threw this little tantrum, that God would go, okay, you're right, you know, I should have given you a little bit more razzmatazz, and let's make this Jezebel thing disappear. Instead, the way God answered him is, I'm sorry, you've missed it, thanks for coming, you will now appoint the next prophet. Hard words. Right, let's move on. Shall we get into the New Testament? Old Testament's way too heavy. But heavy. Thanks, Monique. All right, everyone breathe. You're going to be okay. We're going to make this. All right, God is good and faithful. We're moving on to that slide that starts looking to Jesus. Throughout his ministry, Jesus corrected people's misconceptions of the expected Messiah by calling attention to the true meaning of the scriptures they relied on but misinterpreted. The Jews of his day so misunderstood the Old Testament prophecies that they could not recognize the very Messiah that they had expected at any moment to appear amongst them. You see, Malachi was the last prophet of the Old Testament. And then they had the 400 years, what we call the 400 years of silence. God is never silent. It's just that there was 400 years where there was no inspired word of God that was scriptural, that had to be put in the Bible. So for 400 years, they were waiting for the Messiah to come. That's a few generations. Waiting for Jesus. And finally, when Jesus arrived, they couldn't recognize him because of the misinterpretation and the misunderstanding of who Jesus was going to be. You see, they were going through an incredible hard time with the Romans. And they were waiting for a second David. A divinic Messiah that would come in, take out the sword, and take out the oppressors. They wanted a Christ of the battlefield. They wanted a Christ that was going to deliver them from the oppressors. But Christ had so much more for them. And yet, they still missed him. What lens do you use when you look to Christ? Thursday morning, we have intercession Thursday mornings. And after intercession, Ruan came and brought a beautiful scripture that I felt is really applicable for our time and season that we're in to help us not miss Christ. Matthew 7, verse 13 to 27. Enter by the narrow gates, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets. Now, when we say false prophets, I want us to think false doctrines. I want us to think false spirits. More than some guy on some funny cloak floating around in Cape Town. Are you with me? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And this is what we need to do. You will recognize them by their fruit. Now, we all know the scripture very well. But here's the problem. We don't realize that most trees give fruit. And that doesn't mean nothing. Bad trees give fruit. Good trees give fruit. It is not enough to have fruit. Smith Wigglesworth said that we need to test all things, all spirits, all the time. When last have you tested the spirit? 99% of us going, how do you do that? We're in trouble if we don't know how to do that. We need to test that if the Spirit is the true Christ. Not because it says Christ or it has the name of Jesus somewhere in a bumper sticker. So every tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree, bad fruit. We need to look at the fruit and learn to judge fruit. We need to discern the fruit of things. Can we move to verse 19? The next slide. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Now, we need to be very careful here. Because I know some of us come from a background where you've been taught a religious person has bad fruits, a charismatic person has good fruits. Okay, that's teachings that's going around. This is not speaking about religious people only. This is talking about everyone, everything, including charismatic churches. The Lord came and gave us as intercessors two dreams. And I'm not going to share the dreams. Sorry about that. There's not time tonight. But it's not about the dreams per se. And the interesting thing is it was pretty much two or three nights, maybe even on the same night. I haven't double checked. But basically in the same week, two of the intercessors had two individual dreams, different dreams. but they were exactly the same. They had the same message. And so what I did was I took the more complicated dream and I said, right, guys, let's pray through this dream. And we prayed as best we could, and we got 14 different interpretations for this dream. Now, I need to say, firstly, God is not so simple that he speaks at one level. We see that in Scripture. When he speaks to Joel, he's speaking about the coming of the Pentecost. But at the same time, he's speaking to Joel and the people in that time. We see that in Revelations. When the Revelations was written, we all think it's for the lost church. No, it's not for the lost church, because then it wouldn't have been written. It's for everyone until the lost church. We make Revelations, that last book in the Bible, you know, the one you don't read, we make it very complicated. And I repent about that. It's not so complicated. But there's application for you personally. You know, when you read the word and just the word jumps up, and it was like Jesus wrote it himself for you. It might also have said, Dear Bernie. Huh? You know that? Dear John. And it's just straight for you. Yet this was written 2,000 years ago. Or wherever the Lord's speaking out of the Bible to you. So with dreams, as with Scripture, there is often different ways of looking at it. And that's why it's so important to get spiritual accuracy. And so the dream speaks on three levels. It speaks to the person individually that got the dream. It speaks to us corporately as Shofar and Shofar Cape Town. Then it also speaks for the government of this country. Three levels of this dream. But the one that the Lord wanted to speak to us was on what the Lord is saying to us as a congregation. And I specifically told the more complicated dream in the beginning. And we prayed for a week through it. And then after we prayed a week through it, I brought the second dream. And it made a lot more sense to us. You see, we all see in part. Everyone in this room sees in part. If we were to put all the parts together, we'd be able to see much broader. And let me interject myself there. So if we stand as the prophet, going, I'm prophetic, I'm the only one, you won't bring your little part. And your only one part will be missing. And in the end, together, we can only pray through maybe three parts for the three people that brought their parts. Because we so hold on to the promises and the words that God gives us, because we feel so special and validated by it, instead of blessing with it. This is boiling down basically to what the dreams actually were saying. And that we need to give the little bit that God gives us so that we together can hear God. You see, there's a church called Halftime. Love the church. Go Google them. And they had the theory that what they do on a Sunday is exactly like Super Bowl Halftime. I can't mention rugby because we're going to get depressed. And cricket's just different. You know, they have tea all the time. So let's just imagine we're in America and we're playing Super Bowl. And they had the halftime break. And we come in the huddle and we talk about strategy and what's going to happen. And we get ready for the game and we get back in the game. That's what a Sunday should be for us. Instead of us playing the game here, so what we do is we come together, rah, 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 awesome, yes, go team. And we go home and sleep. And then we arrive for next halftime, go team, yes, great worship, and go home. Instead of us bringing the parts that God has for us, bring it all together on a Sunday, and at small group and intercession on a Thursday, and then just go, let's make this be. And this is the strategy of God. Now go and do it. We've come to a culture where we come to be entertained. We've come to a culture to receive. And there's nothing wrong in receiving on a Sunday at all. We need to receive. But we need to come to give. That's what I love about this congregation. Like, I think it's the highest congregation I've ever heard of that serves on a Sunday. 80% of us in this room serve somewhere on Sunday. It's incredible. Most churches, they call it the 80-20 principle, where 80% of the, no, where 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And we really see a different culture in this church. And I thank you guys, and I just want to say, keep on keeping on. And it's great that we make coffee on Sundays, but that's also not going to change the world. Let's not fool ourselves. It's great that we have a heart for the house, that we serve in the house, but that's step one. That's because we love one another. But let's move out into that workplace and to the calling that God has for us. So, the Elijah sin. I call it the Superman complex. Shall we go to that first picture? That's the one. Now, this is just a little something on the side. I'm not saying I'm Superman. I'm just saying nobody has ever seen me and Superman in a room together. A little joke on the side. Can we move to the next slide? This is what we've made Jesus. I believe this is one of the false prophets that we've created in our day and age. And some of us are a little older, so maybe you're not as guilty. But the young generation of today is struggling with this. I've not watched the new Superman and Batman movie, but there's a scene where they basically all laying hands and basically worshiping this man that is a god. You see, like Elijah, we've made ourselves the pinnacle. We've made ourselves the Christ. We've made it all about us. Who's that? Michael Jackson. All about us. Eh? Yeah. Blame Michael Jackson. It's become so much about how special I am, how amazing my calling is, and get out of my way. I am the anointed man of God. I'm the man of the hour. And this is the sin of us as the charismatic movement. We've become more important than anyone else. Be it the charismatics, be it the Pentecostals, be it whatever you want to label yourself as or whatever. But it's become about how important we are and no more who Christ is. And we're doing amazing miracles along the way as the prophet Elijah did. But it's become more and more about me. Now, Bernie, are you saying I'm not supposed to pray for my calling? Not at all. A lot of us are sitting here going, I don't know what I'm called for. I don't understand why God put me on this earth. I can tell you that is a problem. And that you are going to struggle. Firstly, you're on this earth to worship God. And have a relationship with the living Jesus Christ. Let me help you. That's your calling. It's the high call of Christ. That should be enough. But obviously he's put you on this earth and you want to be obedient. And most of us here would really want to like to be obedient to God, right? We want to please the Lord. But unfortunately, what it's become is we've become... I've taken on my bear, I've taken out my lion, watch out Goliath. We've become so important that we're missing what it's about. I spent time on Friday in our HQ in Stellenbosch, the Shofar Stellenbosch, and I give a few teachings in Stellenbosch now and then. I was giving a teaching a few weeks ago, and there's one guy comes up to me and he says to me, "Bernie, I'd like to speak to you about the gift of discernment of spirits because I believe I have this gift. Go read about it in 1 Corinthians 14. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this guy can see demons and angels and these kind of things. And we're standing in a group because I've just given a teaching about this gift. And he's starting to ask questions. And immediately, you know, when people's eyes start like going bigger and bigger, I realized, okay, this is not the platform to be having this conversation. So I said to him, "Hold on, can you and I have a meeting?" He's a student there in Stellenbosch. And I said, "Can you and I have a meeting? And I'll come through to Stellenbosch and I'll come and chat with you because I can see that you need individual attention." And so Friday, I went through to Stellenbosch and I spent the afternoon with him. And he comes from Satanism. He comes from a Satanistic background. And he got lured into it by his friends. And as these things go, he started delving in dark arts and dark magic and some crazy stuff that I didn't even know existed. You get sometimes, I was very arrogant. My wife called me on it. And she says, "It's so cool because you can go and learn like what they're doing and what they're involved in." And I go, "Yeah, no. You know, I've been around the block, spoke to many Satanists. I know everything." And I must admit, the guy told me some really cool new things. Not cool, demonic, but interesting. And I'm like, "Wow, okay, I didn't know that existed. Why didn't I know that existed?" So I did, yes. I repent, learn quite a bit. But the point is, this guy's saved for 3 months. And he had an amazing encounter with Jesus. He had one of those, you know, some people get saved and some people get good and saved. There is no such thing, by the way. But this guy got good and saved. And what happened was his brother fooled him to come to a business conference in Namibia. Okay? And so they climbed on this bus. And look, he was very anti-Christian. And he knows his brother's a Christian, but he's an entrepreneur. He wants to learn. He's studying marketing. This is what he wants. So he's going for this business thing. Climbs on the bus, and for 18 hours, they drive on the bus, and everyone's having conversations. And somehow, he does not hear in any of the conversations that these guys are all Christians, and that it's actually a Christian event about how do you have, do a Christian, how are Christians supposed to do business. And he arrives, and he says, he sits down, and in this auditorium, and in the front of this auditorium is a cross. And suddenly, tick, 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 no ways. Because he said, if he found out anywhere along the way, he would have jumped off the bus, and he would have hiked home, okay? But now he's in Namibia, in the middle of nowhere in Namibia, you know, one of those campsites that don't exist kind of places. And he realized his brother had suckered him into this thing. So he's really upset with his brother, as brothers are and would do. And any case, so he's now at this conference. And so they say on day 2, normally at the end of the week, they go up to this one mountain and then they go and do this. You sort of go and burn your something. You bring the things that you have before that are hindering you from God. They usually do that on the Friday. And this guy, the pastor up in front, or the businessman up in front, felt that they needed to do it that Tuesday night. And what this man said was, write on a piece of paper the things that you want God to come and heal you of, deliver you of. And you know, those eager Christians, some of them write manuals. It's like this manual and books that they write, or the things that they're standing in faith for and the healing that they want. And this guy goes, he's got nothing. He doesn't want to be here. But he's had some really bad experiences up to this point. And he's freaking out at the same time from these experiences. And he just goes, okay, well, you know what? If I was to meet God, I'd ask him to take this darkness and this heaviness away. That's all he wants. And he writes on a piece of paper and he fumbles it up and he throws the paper in the bin. And he goes, well, I've got to go do something up here. They're probably going to ask me for this piece of paper, so I'm just going to take it along. So he takes out of the bin and they march up this mountain and they have this bin, this drum on fire, you know, and a little fire going there. And the guy asks, bring as a symbol the paper that you've written on and throw it in the fire, and let's stand in faith that God will come and bring that healing and that deliverance you need in your life. And as you come and as you come to the front, just share what God's, what you're standing faithful from God. And you know the first eager Christian, he's like, yes, yes, and he preaches for an hour, and actually preaching how amazing he is, but how he sort of needs, you know, a little bit of a Jesus, but I'm so cool because I'm so called for business, and oh yeah, a little bit of Jesus, and he takes his manual, and he throws it in, and it was a good experience for him, but not much happens normally. And they go through this queue and through the line, and finally the pastor calls him up. And he's absolutely petrified. He walks to the front. He's got nothing to say. He takes his piece of paper, and he throws his paper in this fireplace. He wakes up 2 hours later, completely delivered. He says he woke up and all he remembers asking them is, why were you guys hitting me the whole time? It felt like he'd been hit the whole time. And they explained that for 2 hours they did deliverance on this guy. And as he woke up, he came and he gave his life to the Lord. Life transformed. I don't know when last you've spoken to someone that's just given their life to the Lord. This guy's 3 months saved, right as we're speaking right now, 3 months saved. It is so good to be around someone that's just met Christ. They've got a million questions. They have faith like a child. They just want to know and be and experience. They want to know who Jesus is. And you know how they test you? The first thing, one of the first questions is, Bernie, how do you hear God's voice? How does God's voice sound? And I wanted to cry because it was such a beautiful, pure question. And so I wanted to tell him, you know, well, brother, the Lord speaks to me in prayers and in visions and in dreams. And I've had a trance once or twice before. And, you know, I want to tell all these amazing testimonies of God. And God says, that's not what he needs right now, is it? He needs to know Jesus. He needs to know the Word of God. That's where he needs to hear. So I said, you know, the Lord speaks to me many different ways, but the way the Lord wants to speak to you is very simple, because you need to know God. And the Holy Spirit told me to tell him to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so I said, buddy, for the Lord to speak to you, just read the gospel of Jesus. You must just know Jesus. The word has to be inside of you so you can know him and recognize him so you can know his fruit. Then the Holy Spirit said, Bernie, and then you must tell him once he's read the Gospels to go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I said, listen, dude, so once you've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you need to go and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then the Holy Spirit said a third time to me, Bernie, tell him once he's done that to go and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he said to me, so excited, he's already busy working through Matthew. He's reading it from cover to cover. You know, when you start, you just start shotgunning in Scripture and you just open up and it's amazing and it's open up and it's amazing, but you get very confused with that. So the Lord was just saying, come and meet Jesus. And it feels to me that we've grown cold because we don't have enough young Christians around us. We're not reaching enough people. We're not discipling enough people to have that excitement in our own lives to stir up inside of us and go, man, I want to go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Man, I remember how it was when I got saved for the first time, when I gave my life to the Lord, what he did for me, how he delivered me, how he took me out of this place. Because we become all about ourselves. Become so easily selfish, self-obsessed, self-absorbed. But God has so, so much more for us. When last have you discipled someone? The way we need to interpret the visions and dreams that God's giving you is through Scripture. It's through the eyes of Jesus. If you're going to read it through your own eyes, it's all going to be about you. You see, if those two dreams weren't shared, we wouldn't have been able to pray accurately for a spirit that's ministering amongst us. If those two intercessors did not email me what God showed them, we would not be accurate. Now, so far, we feel that we're called, and I know we said this a thousand times, to be a prophetic voice for the city. And we're doing incredible things and reaching incredible people. And a lot of you are doing the Friday night outreaches. I heard Stefani shared a testimony of what happened Friday night. Stefani, do you quickly want to come and share that? What God did? Is that all right? Can we have another testimony of God's goodness? Amen? Five of us want it. I'll translate if you struggle in Afrikaans. But I'd rather try and do English. My translation ain't that great.
My English is very bad. But let's go for it. Friday night, I started reaching out 3.5 years ago. And I met this lady. And I only met her this once. And she was very thin and very sick. And she's been in the lifestyle for that time, a long time then. Because one of my coworkers said she's been in the lifestyle. Actually, the first time she met her was 7 years back. And so when I met her, it was only that once, and that was 3.5 years ago, and she used to stand at this very specific place. So when we drive or when I walk past there, then it was always like, where is she and what happened to her? And most of us actually thought that she died. Some of them just get too sick or because she used drugs that time already for a while. So then Friday night, we saw her for the first time now in 3.5 years. And she was very thin, but she's alive. And then, not me, but two of my coworkers started talking to her. And she was actually under the influence of drugs and whatever, and mumbling and not really talking. And at that time, I walked away to talk to another lady. And they were starting to talk to her and whatever. And she actually came to her full senses, and she started speaking complete senses. And she said, just at the end, she said, the woman experienced something that the Lord showed her, and she asked her if she was afraid and whatever. And she said, I am afraid that when I lay my head down, I won't wake up, and then I never lived a life that he wanted me to live, and living his plan and his life for me. And she actually spoke so much sense in the conversation we discussed later on. So that was actually just, and then they actually drove with her and she showed us where she's been living and what, and what would come from that. But that she's actually alive and that she really came to that place of she wants to live for Christ.
Amen. So we have a ministry where we reach out to the ladies of the night on Friday nights. The organization called StrikeVac that's doing really amazing work. When last have you had an encounter with someone that truly needs and wants the Lord? And I believe that our healing is in this place. That we'll be able to get over ourselves. Spoke to the parents this morning and they totally got it. You get delivered when you have children of yourself. And we were at Lauren and them's wedding this weekend, last night, a beautiful wedding. And we stepped over by friends of ours in Amanus. And they have this little 2-year-old, cutest little gumdrop, little daughter. But wow. I had enough over just one weekend. Lord, we can wait another 15, 20 years. We're good. Our deliverance started about 7 o'clock on Saturday morning. You know, you want to sleep in and there's just the sound. And it just doesn't stop. But that's exactly what we need. We need the sound of someone coming to the Lord for the first time. That young believer that's desperate and hungry. We need it. So that we might be delivered, that we might be reminded. Else we will end up in the Superman complex, where it's all about myself, my calling, my work, my struggle. And I believe that's a word for us this evening. Let us not do what the Jews did. Let us not have Christ walk into one of our services and miss him. Because we're too obsessed with some magic show or some religious act that you have to do. Even in pursuing your calling, it can lead you to being deceived. We have to make sure that we see Christ, that we may bear the good fruit the Lord has called us to bear. I'm going to call the worship team to the front. And as we minister this evening, if you've never been able to hear the voice of God, God has never given you a dream or a vision. When you open up scripture, it's like sandpaper. If you've never heard God, then I would like you to come up to the front tonight and let us pray with you that you may hear the voice of God. For some of you, you used to have a lot of dreams, a lot of visions. You were greatly inspired, but in this season, it seems like it stopped. We want to pray for you too this evening. We're going to pray that the Lord can take you back to where he's called you, that he doesn't move on to the next prophet. It's very, very simple. We just say, Lord, I repent. I've missed it. And we allow the Lord to take us back to where the ravens are, where the ravens need to feed us. And for most of us, we've missed it because it became about ourselves. And those are the two prayers that we're going to do this evening. But before we do those prayers, can we worship together? Can we stand? Shall we worship together? So this evening, if you have not heard the Lord's voice for a while, if you're not connecting with Christ, if you're not having that personal relationship, can we pray together? Can I ask you to be bold? I want you to raise your hand as you are and say that I haven't heard the Lord's voice for a while. Is there anyone like that this evening? I know this costs, this will make you feel like you're going to die a million deaths just even raising your hand. Is there anyone? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, there's a few. Can I ask that we come to the front? We're going to pray with you. We're going to put our faith out with you together. None of us stand. None of us should think we stand lest we fall. Can I ask that you come and stand on my right? Can I ask some facilitators to come up and we're going to pray with you. We're going to put out our faith. The Lord opens your ears to hear like you once heard. And is there anyone here that's never heard God's voice before? or you want to have a relationship with the Lord, you've never met the Lord. You don't know Jesus. How do you know you've never met Jesus? You don't know Jesus. You've never heard him speak. And you want to hear him speak. Is there anyone like that this evening? Okay, perfect. What we're going to do is we're going to minister another song. And as we're ministering, can I ask that we just take them into the wings and we pray. And as you pray, just pray that the Lord opens their ears. Put out your faith with them. And you guys are going to do the praying work. We're going to do the agreeing work. And if the Lord lays a vision or something that you might need to repent of, or something that you need to come back to, anything that the Lord shows us while I was praying, we just pray as the Lord shows us. And let's put our faith together that we may get into that place again, we may hear God clearly. Amen. Let's carry on worshiping. And then we'll close off in prayer after that. If that's all right, can I get a few more ladies up in front to come and pray, please? years ago, the Lord gave me a vision in a service, and it was a very simple vision. I saw a fountain, and all God's people were running to this fountain, and I was running with them, and then the Holy Spirit said to me, stop running. Stop. And I remember I stood dead still, and the Holy Spirit said, look to the left, and there was another fountain. And this fountain was beautiful, and it was crystal clear. The water was amazing. And then as I looked back to the other fountain, some of the Christians had already, some of the brothers and sisters already been, were in this fountain, and it was a chocolate fountain. And they were bathing and in this fountain. And by this time I was in the crystal clear fountain, and it was just washing me clear, clean. And from this clean fountain, I could see many in this other fountain. And they were starting to get sick of the chocolate. And simply, what entices you? The delicacies? Or do you truly desire the Lord to come and wash you? And we're going to pray that this evening. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we say, Lord, that we do not want to make you a Superman. We declare tonight that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was raised from the dead, and sits at the right hand of the Father in all glory. We say this evening that we are not Christ and we have nothing in ourselves. We are together His bride, preparing for His return, doing the command of Jesus because of our love for Him, by going into the whole world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that you, Lord, have commanded us. We come and ask, Lord, that you come and reveal those false prophets that we've allowed in our lives. Those things that minister to us. Those fountains of chocolate that minister to us. And all we ask, Holy Spirit, is that you will stop us from running and just say, stop. Look to the left. Look to the right. Look up. Look. See truth. We desire truth, Jesus. We want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Not our truth, not our understanding of truth, not out of our fears, not out of our concerns, not out of our worries. One of the intercessors was mentioning on Thursday as we were finishing praying that it feels like that we're looking for insurance from God. You know, insurance. If my house burns down, I've got insurance. That is the opposite of faith when it comes to the spirit realm. It doesn't work like that in the spirit. God calls you to walk on water. You don't have a boat by the side. You step out of the boat and you walk on water. That's faith. You don't have a life jacket. You just walk as God says walk. That is assurance enough. And so, Father, we come and bring your hearts and say, Lord, that we trust you because you are God. We dethrone ourselves where we so often want to throne ourselves. And we put you back on the throne. In our hearts, in our lives. Lord, this evening just came and I really felt the Lord come and share to me. He said, I so badly, so much want to share my gifts with my children. I want to release them in the authority I have for them. I want to release them in spiritual gifts. But their desires are so skewed. Can God trust us? What is He trusting you with now? And when you're faithful, when we are faithful with the little, He gives us more and more and more because of our faithfulness. And Father, Lord, we bring You and ask for grace that we might be faithful with every little thing You give us. A pearl is a small thing that is delicate and fragile and can break easily. And we ask, Lord, that You'll trust us with Your pearls, but that we will grow into maturity, that we may look after Your pearls. Christ, You are our great pearl.
Amen.
And we declare that this evening. We pray that You'll trust us with those that don't know You. We need deliverance, Lord, of ourselves. It's so easy, Lord, to get stuck in the things of this world. Am I going to be able to pay for the mortgage? Am I going to be able to make that deadline? My boss is really hard on me. Time's tough. Can I make it? We pray, Lord, that we'll be able to pray more than just prayers like that.
Amen.
That You'll be able to lift our heads from that desk as we're typing frantically to make that deadline. And we'll just see Jesus. We'll see the opportunity, the moment that You prepare. And we'll take those opportunities to minister. Lord, You say the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. May we be laborers of the great commission of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love Cape Town. We love the city. We love the awesome parts of Cape Town. But we also love the dark parts where there's no hope. Where there's people that are selling their lives for something short. Be it drugs, be it whatever that they involve themselves. Lord, we love them because You love them. Give us that love, Lord, that we may go and find that one. We pray for the strategy to do it too. We pray like in Acts for that boldness to take that first step. That time that Your spirit just says, now speak to Your boss, Lord, are You mad? He's about to lose it. She's about to lose it. Speak now to them. Speak truth now. And when the Holy Spirit releases you to do it, just do it in obedience. He will be faithful. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning the Lord had me speak to a couple that's in the church here. The Lord gave me a vision for them over 2 months ago. And I've been praying 2 months for this vision for them. And this morning the Lord just released me to go and speak to them. But I waited and I waited and I waited for that opportune time that God said, now. You know that moment where you feel, okay, now. And I just went with it. Because God is faithful. And I shared the vision. And I believe God's going to do amazing things in their lives. And I'm standing in faith that this vision will come to fruition in their life soon. But we wait on God until God says, go. But if God's never saying go, then you're not waiting on God. You've missed Him already. There's got to be moments where you know, now, now, now. How often should that happen? At least once a day. Does that help? I'm sure God can speak to us once a day. And we grow to that place. We don't condemn ourselves, we grow. Lord, once a year would be awesome. Ching, ching. Once every 6 months, Lord. Awesome. We pray and we ask, we seek. until we get that place. Every day God can use us in someone's life to minister. Guys, you are beautiful. Thanks for being here this evening with us. Have a great Sunday. Come and have coffee with us in the Founders, that side.